They said, that's what they're going to do. I said, praise the Lord, man. And this is Brother Walski. He just went out there. He was in Pennsylvania for like 15 years as a youth pastor. And I was telling him we were having our vacation Bible school and are having our revival. And he said, man, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I wish I could be there, because he's been here for our youth rallies. Brother Walski has. I don't know if some of y'all know him, but now he's a pastor in California. Brother Mike Sherry just took a church out there in out west somewhere. Brother Mike Sherry is leaving New York, going to out west. Somebody else is going out west. They're going to take a church out there. So, anyway, you pray for these young guys. They're going out trying to take over churches and, that churches that in the West that pastors now resigning. I just got a call from Brother Mark McGay. He was telling me about some pastors resigning. So, but pray for churches across this country, man. I tell you what, there's a lot of churches shutting down because of this COVID-19, because of all the troubles going on, and they've been shutting down. So, man, we're not planning on shutting down. Lord helping us. Amen. Titus chapter 2, and it says this. We're going to read verse 1 on down through 15. He says, now if you're watching by live stream, make sure you get your Bible open. And we're going to talk a little bit about salvation today and conditional and unconditional. He says, but speak thou the things which become a sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, men sober, not only physically, but mentally sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, you older ladies here, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. The Bible says you ought to be example in holiness about the way you live, the way you act. It says not false accusers. And not given to much wine, in the Bible talks about, when it talks about wine, this new wine, but also they had fermented wine that was for when illness came, sickness. They didn't have a local drugstore. They didn't have a place they could go down and get something to help them in the infirmities. It says, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Ladies, you're supposed to be teaching the girls and the young ladies how to be ladies and how to have holiness in their life, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's, man, that's as plain as a nose on your face. You look at your Bible, God gives you instructions how to do things. Yeah. I mean, it tells the women, the men, everybody's going to be accountable for the way they live, for the way they act. We're going to be accountable. And God says that this is what you need to do. Look what else it says, to be discreet, chaste, discreet and chaste, moral purity, being moral. And then it says, keepers at home. And now some ladies say here, like Brother Mike was talking about a while back, you have to work, you pay the bills. I mean, the system's set up against the home. The whole system today is set up against the home, where the woman has to go out of the house and work to be able to pay for him to be able to have anything, the house or whatever you have to have. The system's set up against you, the way it's set up. It used to be in a day where the woman stayed home, took care of the children, raised the children, because a child develops his mentality, his character in the first 5 years of their life. They develop that. And a good mama, chaste, teaching the younger women, and discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Amen. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See that thing? It says, man, if you don't do that, you're blaspheming the word of God. Yeah. And that's a sad state for any child of God. And especially when people see it. I remember Brother Peacock was here one time, and he told me, he said, I had to tell this pastor's wife to shut her mouth. He said, I was with him. Brother Peacock was telling me, he said, I was with him. And he said, every time I turned around, she'd run. He said, I had to tell her, sister, to be honest and be, he said, I'm trying to be patient. And I'm just being around you guys. You need to love your husband. Shut your mouth. And she was like, oh. And he goes, yeah, shut your mouth. And she was just constantly running her mouth. I'm not talking about the ladies here. I'm not saying the women can't talk and encourage their husbands and all that. It says, the word of God be not blasphemed. Look at that. It says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Young guys, their minds are one running wild, going crazy. and running over the place. And it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. He says, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well. They were slaves in those days. Please them well in all things, not answering again. It says, I got written over here. It says, prolonging, but show all things. I can't see the first word because I wrote over it. Prolonging to show all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. You know, a person that's not living for God are not looking for that blessed hope. It says, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify on himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. My Father, I pray, God, now you bless your word as we study it this morning. As we look into the word of God, help us to get something from it. Help us to be better Christians as we walk out the doors today, God, as a result of the word of God. And Lord, we thank you again for your goodness and your grace and, God, your comfort and all the things you've given us. Help us, Lord God, just to be patient, waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we see people get saved, man, we see people get saved all the time around here. And we see, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appear to all men. We see people getting saved, and man, it's a blessing to see people get saved. But we don't see a lot of people get to grow. We don't see that growth going on in people's lives. And then we see people that have grown, they've grown so far, and then they stop growing. And they quit and they start reverting back to the way they were before they were saved. And that's not good. That's not good at all. The Bible says that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. I mean, our job as a Christian in this life, as saved people, our job is to bring glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. And I mean, man, we see people get saved. We see people, you know, we've seen hundreds of saved. So where are they at? Well, who knows, man? I mean, you start wondering, did they really get saved? But the Bible tells us some things that what happens to people. It tells us, you know, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things come in and choke the word of God in them. And they get all messed up. And look in your Bible to Mark chapter 4. Look at this. It gives you an example of what happens to a lot of people. And they get saved. And what happens is you start wondering, what in the world happened in their life? I mean, and as Christians, we're responsible to try to get them to grow, try to get them in church. I'm always calling people, trying to talk to people, get in church. When's the last time you encouraged somebody to say, hey, man, meet me at church. I'll you know, we go out to eat and we'll do something together. And just kind of encourage them to get in church, to get in the Word of God. Why? You're helping them in that sense. You're not only helping them, you're helping yourself in that sense. Look in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus gives the parable of the sower that sowed the seed. And verse 13, disciples, they didn't understand what he's talking about. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. But then verse 13, he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower sowed the word. And that's our job, is sowing the word of God. We're like farmers in that sense. We're taking the seed, and we're putting the seed out, just constantly putting the seed out. Now, brother Jason, he knows about putting the seed out. If you don't put the seed in the ground, it's not going to come up. If you don't put seed in the ground. And it's all, and you're going to put in good seed. You don't want to put in bad seed. A lot of people are sowing bad seed. They're throwing out bad seed. And you shouldn't be doing that. Before I was saved, I threw out all kinds of bad seed. There was a lot of stuff that came up I had to pay for. And I'm probably still paying for it right now. I'm still paying for that, some of that bad seed. And we need to put out good seed. And the Word of God is the seed. And then as the Bible says, these are they that by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. And I realize that. I realize the devil sees you witness somebody and says, man, I'm coming to church. I need to be saved. As soon as they say that, the devil comes along immediately. Look what it says. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The devil steals the word. He steals it. And that's why, you know, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall, weeping bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with his sheaves with him. So we need to do some sowing and some watering on that thing. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. There's a lot of people that's stone hard. And they receive the word. You go down south. You go down south, all over down south. I went down south and you talked to everybody. Everybody say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. But they don't live it. They don't have no fruit. They don't have nothing in their life to show for it. No, I don't understand that. When I got saved, man, there's something happened inside me. Something happened where I wanted to see more people saved. I wanted to see my friends saved. I wanted to see my mama saved. I wanted to see my daddy saved. I wanted to see my brother saved. And my brother in prison, I wanted to see him saved. I wanted to see my sister saved. I wanted to see everybody I ran in contact saved. I wanted to see him saved. And something happened to me. I want people to see people saved. A lot of Christian people get saved, and they just said, well, I'm like that guy in the Bible. Jesus gave that parable that the Lord gave him a talent, and he hid it in the earth instead of going out getting usury on the thing. Every Christian ought to reproduce himself. Everyone. Everybody ought to reproduce yourself. And if you can reproduce yourself one time a year, boy, I tell you what, you're talking about something. We'd see, man, hundreds of more people saved. If you can reproduce yourself and seeing somebody say, but also seeing that seed grow, seeing that seed come to nourishment. Look at this. He says, stony ground. Now, you got to pray in here this morning and say, hey, man, Lord, is my heart hard? Am I hard? When the word of God is being preached, am I just sitting there? I'm not getting nothing from it? I mean, examine yourself. The Bible tells us, see if you're in the faith or not. Examine yourself. Am I hard? Am I sitting here and not getting anything from God's word? I mean, when I first got saved, man, and I'm still that way. When a guy's preaching, I want to hear what he's got to say. I mean, I've told you I was sitting in the back. I got to the front. I wanted to hear what the preacher had to say. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. And look what the Bible says. It says, and the Bible says, stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And I started thinking, what happened to them people that got saved? I mean, what happened to them? They have no root. I mean, a tree that has no roots is going to fall over. It has no roots. They always say, man, you ought to put down your roots. They also say a good tree, a big tree, has got roots twice the length of the tree's height. It's got roots in the ground. Why? To keep it still, to keep it strong, and have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time afterwards. And this is what happens to a lot of Christians. A lot of people get saved. When affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You know what happens a lot of times in Christianity today? What happens is we preach and we say, if you get saved, there's going to be joy, peace, and comfort and all that stuff. And we tell them how great it's going to be. And we tell them, it is great. It's like giving a guy a parachute on a plane and say, where is this parachute? And he sits on the plane and he's sitting there and he says, man, this thing's uncomfortable. And man, I'm taking this thing off. And then another guy comes on the plane, give him a parachute, says, man, this is going to save your life. This will keep you from, when the plane starts falling, you can jump out of this plane with it and you'll be safe landed. And that guy, man, he'll hold on to that thing. He'll say, man, this is my life. This is everything to me. The other guy says, oh, man, this thing's supposed to give me comfort. It's supposed to give me joy. It ain't doing this. So I'm going to throw it off. I'm going to get rid of it. A guy that realized, hey, this is my life. This is my life depends on this. Boy, I'm going to hold on to it. And what happens is a lot of Christians get saved. They have no root in themselves. So endure for a time, and afterwards when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. A lot of people get offended. They say, God, why'd you do that? I run into Christians all the time. They're mad at God. Why did God allow this to happen? You know what Jesus said? He said, in this world, you're going to have persecution. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles, and you're going to have battles, and you got to face it. You got to face it. My mom and dad passed away, and I mean, I'm holding my mother's hand, And I realized, man, this is part of life. And my mom and dad got saved. Thank God I can see them again. Amen. The Bible says that we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. I got hope. I'm going to see them again. I'm going to rejoice with them again. Man, you talking about a family reunion. We're going to have a family reunion one day. We're going to fellowship around the throne. Man, what a blessing that is. I love to see my family get together and we all enjoy each other. Boy, you talking about a family reunion in heaven. What a time that's going to be. Pop Coleman and Chelsea and all the ones that the family of the Coleman family, they're going to rejoice together. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. But what happens to a lot of Christians? Persecution comes. They get offended. They get offended. People get offended at church. It's a strange thing how they don't get offended in front of a TV set or somebody out on the job cursing and swearing and all that stuff. But somebody says something just, you know, wrong to them, just anything wrong, they're quitting church. They're quitting serving the Lord. I'm out of here. There ain't no more serving God. What a thing. Man, what a thing. It says they have no root in themselves. So endure but for a time, and afterwards when affliction and persecution arise, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. There it is. Here's what happens to a lot of Christians right here. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things choke, enter in, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Why? Because they intertangle themselves in the world system. Now, I'm not saying we're in the world system in that sense, but I'm not tangled up in it. I'm living in this world, but I'm not of the world. You're not of the world. The world system will get around you and be like a vine that chokes the seed. It'll choke the word of God in your life. You get tied up in this world system, it'll tie you up. And you'll never be fruitful for God. You'll never become fruitful. And it says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Let me ask you something. Are you a fruitful Christian? Do you have fruit to show? Or if the Lord came by your tree and walked by and said, hey, I'd like to pick a fruit off of you, off this family tree, and there ain't none? You remember the fig tree when he cursed it. Man, the Lord's looking for fruit. The Lord is a fruit inspector. He wants to see fruit. You say, well, you ain't going to be no excuse. He's a fruit inspector. He wants fruit in your life. I mean, no ifs, ands, buts about it. He wants fruit. And God says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. I mean, I got to be rich. I want to be rich. I don't care how I get it. I just want to be rich. The deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things. Oh, man, I want that. I got to have it. Oh, man, I got to have that house. I got to have that car. Oh, man, that car. I got to have it. You start, the lust of other things will choke the word of God in you. It'll choke you to death. It says, enter in and choke the word and becometh unfruitful. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold. You say, well, it says right there, if you gladly receive it, look what it says. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. I tell you this, I'd be worried if I was a Christian and didn't have no fruit to show in my life. I'd be worried. So what would you do, preacher? I want fruit in my life. I want fruit in my family's life. I want fruit in Mike's life. I want fruit in my wife's life. I pray for fruit. I pray for it. I pray for fruit for this church. Why? If a church doesn't bring forth fruit, it dries up and dies. Yep. If a Christian doesn't bring forth fruit, he'll dry up and die. I'm talking about good fruit. I'm not talking about rotten fruit. I'm talking about good fruit. It says, these are they that are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. It says, if they hear the word of God, they receive it, they're going to bring forth fruit. There's no doubt about it. But you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how this happened to me. It ain't no but about it. Fanny Crosby, blind, born blind. I mean, wrote over 8,000 to 10,000 songs. She's still bearing fruit today. The songs that we were singing. She's still bearing fruit. Let me ask you something. You got any fruit to show? At the judgment seat of Christ? Now, look what it says. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I wrote down in my Bible, Lord willing, 110. Lord willing, 110. Now, this is not what I'm preaching about this morning. But you said, what happened to people? You know, Jesus said, take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 7. Look at this. Luke chapter 7. Look in Luke 7. Man, I started wondering about people. That's why I'm always encouraging you watching at home. That's why I'm always encouraging be in church. Get around the Word of God. I mean, man, pass out tracts. We're always telling you, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? Because it brings forth fruit in your life. It'll bring forth fruit. It's good. That's why we're always saying it. That's why we're always doing it. Telling you, do this, for the Lord's sake. But look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse 41. And now, my whole message is going off another end, going off another way. But look at Luke chapter 7, verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. 550. And they had nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them both. Look at this. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Did God forgive you a lot? Yes, sir. Everybody in this room, God's forgiven you a lot. And the Bible says, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. I'm talking about Mary Magdalene. He said, since I came in here, this woman just wept at my feet and wiped my feet with her tears and her hair. Jesus never said, no, don't do that, don't do that. Why? She was worshiping. She was worshiping God. You know what? When you realize how much God forgave you and how good he's been to you, you're going to see it one day when you stand before him. And you weren't willing to bow your knee and wash his feet with tears. He says, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered in thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She said, he was God. You know, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. I mean, I've talked about kissing this book. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. You know how many people don't have the Word of God? In the world today, don't have the Word of God? That's why when Ken and my family, we went down and saw that Bible barn down in Tennessee. Man, I sat there and wept looking at all that. Going to Russia. Going to South America. The Word of God going out. Whew! So a lot of Christians, that don't mean beans to them. The Word of God is the power. It's power. The Bible says this. He says, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came. What I'm talking about is real worship here. Real worship. And it says, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Are you a little forgiver, little lover of God? I love God a little bit, but he forgave me a lot, but I love him a little bit. If the Lord forgive you a lot, you ought to be loving him a lot. Salvation is unconditional. I never forget, thank God the Lord didn't say, all right, for you to get saved, you got to be like the Old Testament. You got to, like Noah, for Noah to be saved, he had to build an ark. A lot of these preachers preach today, now you're saved looking, you're saved looking back to the cross and you're saved looking towards the cross. They didn't know what the cross was in the Old Testament. They didn't know. Noah got saved when he built the ark and saved his life and saved his family. I mean, Abraham, I know there was faith involved. There was faith involved in every one of them. I mean, Abraham, I mean, the Bible talks about Abraham, a man of faith. There was no law. Moses, man, he ended up having the law, but there was still faith involved. I mean, there was works involved, faith plus works. And James, the Bible says faith without works is dead. But as a Christian, I'm saved by faith plus nothing. But that makes me want to work for him. Why? Because he's the greatest God in all the universe. He's the one that forgives sins, the most, the little. No, makes no difference where you came from. He forgives. What a great God we serve.
Amen.
What a great God. Salvation in the Old Testament was conditional. You realize that? It was conditional. If you know, you read in the book of Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was just coming back from Jerusalem. He went down. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to be saved, you had to go to Jerusalem and you had to be converted into Judaism. You know what Jesus said? Take your Bible, look in John chapter 4. Look at this. John chapter 4, look at this. Look what the Bible says. John 4. A lot of people don't believe this. They say, oh, ain't no way. I mean, he saved Gentiles and Jews. Yeah, he did Gentiles, but they had to come to Jerusalem. They had to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And look at here. And John chapter 4. And look at verse 20. And it says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. He's talking about the woman at the well. And he says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. He's telling the woman Samaria, he said, you worship, but you don't know what you're worshiping. He said, but we know that we worship, for salvation is of the what? Salvation is of the what? Salvation of the Jews. If you were in the Old Testament, you had to go to Jerusalem. You had to worship God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. And salvation was of the Jews, man. You had to convert it. You had to convert to Judaism. Then all of a sudden, New Testament, Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. And you know, the Bible tells us there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of God. I mean, you're in. Gentiles in. Jews can get in just like anybody else. So in the Old Testament, salvation was conditional. It was conditional. Whether you were going to go to Jerusalem, whether you're going to bring a sacrifice. In the New Testament, salvation is whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. Here we got the greatest opportunity, the greatest time in history of mankind to be able to tell people how to come to the Savior. Unconditionally, salvation is free. I mean, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God's given a gift. Anybody that wants it can have it unconditionally. He says, man, it's free. Come and get it. The only condition is you got to take it. You got to take it. You and I got in on that. If you're saved, you got in on it. The new birth is unconditional. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Old Testament, it wasn't. So thank God, man. Look, the Bible talks about, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 1. Look in Romans 1. Paul says, he says this, Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed. Look at this. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16. Romans 1, back up to verse 14. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, the unwise. For so much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. I mean, the gospel, Brother Mike was teaching on the gospel. The gospel is the power of God on the salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what happened to Jews? The Jews rejected it. God gave them three opportunities. When Paul the apostle preached, Jesus Christ went to the Jewish people. They rejected it. They said, we don't want this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. And man, the Gentiles got in on salvation. Salvation is free. And man, you and I are sitting here. Man, God's forgiven us a great debt.
Amen.
I mean, a great debt. If you were in the Old Testament, you probably would never have gotten saved. You would never be saved. Here you are in the New Testament. You got the power of God in your life. You got the Word of God. And man, what are you doing with it? What are you sharing with it? Who are you telling about it? We got the greatest thing there ever was. Salvation. Salvation of God was sent on the Gentiles. Thank God. Acts chapter 20, 28. Salvation was sent. I mean, man, what a great blessing it was for us Gentiles, which the Bible says, Jesus said, it's not fit to give the food from the table to the dogs. He was saying the Jews sat at the table and the Gentiles the dogs. But she said, the woman said, Lord, but the dogs get to eat from the crumbs from the table. Thank God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, go away. Your faith is great. Amen. What a blessing that is. I mean, salvation, unconditional, man. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. I mean, man, God's given you a responsibility to tell. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, and most Christians are not living their kind of light, life to show their light so they shine for Jesus Christ. They're not living that kind of life. They're so messed up in their life. Their lives are messed up. They're not living for God. They're trying to find hope somewhere else rather than in the Word of God. They try to go out to the bars, the drinking and the carrying on. I mean, that's why a lot of Christians fall by the wayside. And they say, well, I'm just tired of this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you know what? Jesus said, if you've forgiven much, you'll love much. If you don't love the Lord like you should, maybe God hadn't, you think, well, God didn't really forgive me for a whole lot. I mean, I wasn't that bad of a person. If you are lost and on your way to hell, you are bad. Amen. God, have mercy on us. I believe every man ought to be a spiritual man that's saved. I believe you ought to have your emotions in check. I mean, you ought to have your emotions in the Word of God. And I mean, embed it in the Lord's Word. I mean, embed it, your emotions. Because why? Your emotions get the best of you sometimes. Your emotions will mess you up. And you got to let your emotions be in the Word of God and trust in the Lord. And growing in grace. And growing in grace is conditional, though. Growing in grace. You ought to be growing on a daily basis. Then look at, take your Bible, look in 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter. Look what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says this, 2 Peter chapter 1. And I've wondered, like I said, I wonder why these people fall by the wayside. How come they revert back? How come they don't have the appetite for the Lord? How come they're not hungry for Jesus Christ? I remember when I was in North Carolina one time, a woman started singing, I'm hungry for the Lord. And she was singing a song, but she was on her knees going around like she was picking up crumbs from off the floor. She was singing that song. It was at Brother Mike's church. She was singing, Lord, give me the crumbs from the table. And man, she acted like she was hungry for the Lord and the way when she was singing that song. And boy, I tell you what, that got a hold of me thinking about that. We're a bunch of Gentile dogs. And boy, God came by my way. Thank God he did. Amen. Thank God he came by your way. Amen. 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 You can amen every once in a while. That'll bring some fruit in your life. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1. And look at what it says. I said 2 Peter 2, 1. It's 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2, 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speakings, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Growing in grace is conditional. It's up to you. Once you got salvation was unconditional. God paid for it. It was free. You could take it. If you take it or leave it. But growing in grace is conditional. I mean, it's up to you whether you're going to grow. Can you imagine a child not eating? What would happen to that child? That child would die. A child not having a desire to grow. Every child, as they, you know, they watch their older brothers and sisters, they want to do what they're doing. We got little kids running around, and the little ones want to do what the 12-year-olds are doing. They want to grow. They want to get that. They want to get to that age. They want to get to the place that they can drive a car. They want to get to those places they can grow up. They want to learn more. They want to do more. I mean, that's the way a Christian ought to be. You ought to want to, when I first got saved, I wanted to know that book, man. I studied it, and I read it. I mean, I sat there at night reading it. I wanted to know it. Because why? I wanted to grow. Most Christians don't have no desire to grow now. They have no desire. They've lost their appetite for the Lord. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, man, you lose your appetite, brother, you're done. You lose your appetite. And man, I've seen a lot of Christians lose their appetite for God. It's conditional. You need to grow. Look what it says. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborns and babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It says, if so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and whom coming as on the lively stones disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. I know a preacher right now believes that your mansion in heaven is going to be what you've done by building your house now. You say, I don't know about that. I don't know. Can you imagine that? You building your own mansion by your spiritual house now. The way you're living, the rewards you have, the things you do, you're building your own spiritual house. And what the Bible tells us that, he says that you won't be found naked before the Lord. I mean, there's some things, man. I mean, Dr. Rubin even taught at times, he said, it looks like a Christian going to get judged at the judgment seat of Christ might receive stripes, might get a whooping at the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine that? There's scripture on it. There's scripture on a Christian getting whooped at the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine that? The Lord says, hey, in front of all, millions of people, come on up here. You got a whipping, you deserve a whipping. Woo! You know what that does? Put the fear of God in everybody else. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that be true. I know the Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. It says that, you know, wood, hay, and stubble. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. Look what the Bible says. I mean, Christians, I told you, like, the devil comes along, tries to steal the word. And then what happens is a lot of Christians, the men, they receive the word and, you know, gladness, and then they fall by the wayside. If the Lord saved you and he forgave Lot in your life and kept you out of hell, my Lord, there ought to be some growth in your life. There ought to be some fruit in your life. Look what it says. For other foundations can no man lay than that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's not the house. It says you're the spiritual house. But look here. What happens is if the things that you've done on this planet is going to build your mansion. But I don't know about that, man. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine going to heaven and in the 21st century Christians, there'd be look like a slum area? You go down through the Lord says, all right, here's the first century Christians, look at these mansions. Here's the second century Christians, look at these mansions. Look at the third century Christians, look at these mansions. Look at the fourth century, and get all the way up to the 20th century, and then the 21st, and the Lord goes, oh, this is a slum area. Low income. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? If you ever want to find, I mean, the sorriest group of Christians today is the 21st century. Because the Bible says, the Laodicean church, they said, we're rich, we have need of nothing. And then it said, the Lord said, you're poor, blind, naked. He said, man, anoint your eyes with eye salve. Yep. Get your eyes open. Amen. There's something to this thing, man. The judgment seat of Christ is going, that's the scariest place for me. I'm scared of it. Yep. You, if you're in your right mind, you'd be scared of it too. Amen. If you were scared of it, you want to do something about it. Yep. Man. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus looking you in the eye saying, what's the matter with you? You didn't love me? I forgave you a lot. How come you didn't love me? You know it's hard to get people to come back on Sunday night? Hard to get people to go to win. I mean, man, if somebody loves God, that is not an issue. Amen. People have an issue with going to church. Save people. Yeah. This growing in grace is conditional. Rewards are conditional. It's not like everybody gets a reward. The 21st century, you know, people, they think, everybody's got to get a reward. Everybody's got one, so they don't feel bad. Yeah. You get to heaven, the Lord's going, you're going to feel bad. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so it's saying you're supposed to be building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. See what it says? Most people don't read that. You're supposed to be building on your own foundation. Can you imagine going out to your house and you bought a piece of ground, and then the guy comes in, put the foundation in, he said, okay, the rest is yours. You got to build it. What would it look like? I know what mine would look like, probably a shack. Well, look at here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul and some of the saints of God walk by your mansion and go, what in the world? Lord, you need to bulldoze that thing. Just put them in a housing project somewhere. Most Christians think, oh, God saved me. He gave me salvation free. He's going to give me everything. Everything is going to be me. He's going to give me a brand new. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But the Bible says here in the judgment seat of Christ, it said you're supposed to be building upon your foundation. What if he just gave you this stick? You know, we talk about, okay, you go out and hire a guy, just put the framework. Just do the framework, and the rest is up to you. Siding, the beautiful ornaments, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. What if that was the left up to you? It says, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I realize we say our works are going to be thrown in the fire, but what comes out of it? If any man's works abide which he have built thereupon, so somebody's doing some building. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. He's saved by the skin of his teeth. Growth is conditional, folk. Time, it takes time. It takes food. It takes care. It takes training. It takes reading. Most Christians say, well, I ain't got time for that. But they're watching all the news. They're watching all the shows. Let me ask you something. Are you producing any fruit? Are you growing? You growing any? I remember sitting in church. I said, man, I don't want to be a dumb idiot not knowing where everything is. I want to know my Bible. I still want to know it. Yeah. At times, I feel like an idiot. Sometimes I get up here, and I'm trying to find the book. I said, where's that book? I'm trying to remember. Then I have to go, man, I've got to go through my library in my head. It should be automatic. Blessings. Blessings of God are conditional. You want God's blessings upon your life? I do. How many of y'all want blessings on your life?
Amen.
That's conditional. It's conditional. Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds is what gets messed up. That's why the Bible tells you to be sober. Be vigilant. I mean, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're not reading your Bible every day, you're getting all your information is going in your head, and your mind will get corrupt. You know what most people, Christians do, the 21st century Christians, is all about me. If any man's work by which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The world got answers. They tell you, oh, yeah, you need to do this, you need to do that. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it's written, he'll take the wise in their own craftiness, And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. They are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So, blessings are conditional. It's up to you. You've got to prepare for those blessings. You got to, things you're supposed to do. You know what the Lord told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26? He said, I set before you this day a blessings and cursing. I set that before you. You know, I believe that same thing happens with a Christian. A person that's saved, God says, okay, your choice. Your choice. Blessing or cursing. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. Blessing or cursing. It's up to you. Conditional. Conditional. Rewards. We talked about that. Rewards are conditional. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 3. Look in Revelation 3. Rewards are for a Christian is conditional. You get rewarded. The Bible says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus said that. Look, Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 11. He says, back up to verse 10. He's talking to the Philadelphian church here. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And you know what? I want to say this. I've always prayed that our church would be a Philadelphian church, not a Laodicean church. A Philadelphian church, God blessed it. And he gave it an open door. They seen fruit. The Laodicean church, they don't see no fruit. They just keep taking in money. And they're asleep. They're trusting in themselves. Look at this. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of what? Temptation, which shall come upon the whole, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. You know what? There's a temptation right now on all the world right now. There's a temptation. There's stuff going on. Man, it's crazy. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy what?
Crown.
Thy crown. Say, where you get the crown at? The crown is after the judgment seat of Christ. The crown. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now look at Revelation 22, last chapter of the Bible. Last chapter. And I realize this is talking about, eternity and the millennium. But look at this. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, look at verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them, I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. The angel got a lot of sense. He said, don't worship me. For I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets. You know what Christians are? The devil took a third of the angels, followed him. You know what you are? You're replacements. You're replacements. And he says, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He says, and then he said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Look at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Rewards are conditional. Take your Bible, look at 1 John. Look at 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 3. We all know 1 John chapter 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's 1 John 3, talking to a Christian. 1 John 3, 16. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever have his word world's goods, seeth his brother have need, shut up with bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Amen. God's rewards are conditional. 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 I mean, you know what happens to brothers? Take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians right now. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 9. You know what happens to this age? Or it's happened in every age. Christians cheat themselves. You cheat yourself. Can you imagine if you found out that you got cheated by the bank? They wiped out your bank account tomorrow morning. You'd be down at that bank beating on that window. I don't care about the COVID-19. I don't care about nothing. I'm going to get on talking to somebody. They took all my money. You have a fit. If somebody broke in your house, you came home today, found your house broke, and they took everything, the value out of your house, you would have a fit. And I can show you a bunch of verses on that. We ain't got time. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Jesus said, a sower went and sowed the word. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. I mean, you got to check your own heart. Lord, I want my heart to be nurtured. I want my heart to be able to receive the seed, the word of God, and be tender towards it and grow and produce fruit. He said, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, but nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's not only money, folks. That's your time. That's your life. A lot of Christians cheat themselves of a reward. Can you imagine if you found out you made a mistake by doing some automatic phone transfers and you deleted your money? What happens is a Christian ain't serving God, cheating himself. And you'll wish to God you did. You wish to God you, when you stood before him, you had a reward. I'll tell you what, that's scary, folks. That's scary. Every Christian can have, take your Bible, I told you that's the last place. Matthew 6, one more time. Matthew 6. This is an important verse. Don't cheat yourself out of reward. Jesus is telling them about a man doing alms. He says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Some people do stuff just so people think that they're spiritual. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He said, therefore, when you do thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doeth alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. The Catholic Church, they do all the vain repetitions. It says, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So, as a Christian, we ought to realize salvation is unconditional. Thank God for it. But when it comes to our rewards, when it comes to our blessings and all the things that we have in this life, they're conditional. Our growth, That's conditional. God expects some things from you and me. He expects. And these are things that he said, I'm not going to give them to you. These are things that you're going to have to earn. As a Christian, that ought to concern you. Amen. Father, we do thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray, God, help us to be concerned about our own life, about how we live it, and to think about that building a mansion and all that stuff, Lord. I don't know. I don't know all about it. I don't understand it all about what's going to happen there. But I know, God, that something's to it. I know there's something to it. And I pray, God, help us to, Bible says, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And my Father, I'm not working my salvation or being to be saved, but just because of what I am saved. And help my brothers and sisters, Lord, to have a reward, have a blessings. And God, I pray, God, help us to have growth in our life, that we might have fruit in our life. And Lord, I pray, God, for our families, our loved ones. I pray, God, put the fear of God in all of us. Give us a tender heart. And may we come back the appointed hour, come back and fellowship around the word of God. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.